You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Janine Mohammed, welcome to NITV Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The Atlantic Fellowships have just opened their expressions of interest for the next batch of fellows, and you're one of the senior fellows. Tell us about being just a previous fellow of these Atlantic Fellowships.
My experience was really an opportunity for a deep immersion and into thinking, reflective practice, really thinking about my position in the globe and my ability to influence social equity. Certainly there were other benefits such as friendship and connectivity. And I think what I really walked away with was that the Atlantic Fellowship, being an Atlantic Fellow, a senior fellow, was now a part of my identity. And certainly I think some of the gains that I had in terms of skill was really understanding narratives and thinking about where people were at and meeting them in their need and in their time and with their language in being able to progress collectively towards a goal. So I think my experience was that it was so welcoming, and yet there was a lot of discomfort and a lot of growing in that discomfort, and a lot of reflective practice and critical thinking, and of course the growth of my project.
One of the requirements for the applicants is actually to produce and actually to submit a social equity project. What project did you submit? What was your project?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And I think this is the case for many people that begin the Atlantic Fellowship journey. I applied, looking at creating a global network of Indigenous nurses, thinking about our common narratives, our common goals, and striving towards that together. But by the time I walked into the fellowship, when I had that time to think, I really realised that I was emotionally depleted, and possibly like many of the people that are going to be walking into the fellowship as emerging leaders. And as a result of where I was at in my life, and a result of my reflection, the project that I intended to do, which was the Global Network of Indigenous Nurses, really began to become relevant. And I had already started that work, but what I decided to focus on was thinking about Indigenous leadership and self-sustainability and resilience and how we sustain ourselves while working towards social equity, and really examining the place of culture and cultural determinants of health in the lives of current Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leaders, talking to them about what inspires and motivates and validates them, as well as, critically important, sustains them in the challenges that they have to face as they continue to work for social equity. So, what I came up with was a suite of materials to help, emerging leaders in social equity.
Yeah, and this is because the fellowships is an international project. Did you get to travel overseas to meet other fellows or even to further your knowledge on your project?
That was absolutely a part of our broader learning, and was woven into the program that we got to go to the United States. We went to Washington, and we also went to Manhattan, New York. We had the privilege of meeting with some of the people in the Obama administration, one of the leaders in the creators, really, in Black Lives Matter. So it was beautifully curated, as well as, just very rich and full and a life-defining moment for me.
Yeah, so you learnt a lot. Can you tell us a little bit more about the experience and the skills you gained through this fellowship?
Yeah, I think, a real systems thinking, leading on from, asking about that overseas experience, I walked away with a real systems thinking on a global scale. We actually met with one of the universities in New York, and we met with one of the deans of the art school, and she talked to us about sustainability and how she asked the whole university to begin thinking about, in each of their professions and their domains, about water. And some of the outcomes of that, just by her leadership and being, you know, and her ability to transcross or, you know, other disciplines. So really thought about system thinking in a global scale and how we measure, you know, our impact and ensure sustainability of whatever the goal we're trying to achieve or the outcome that we want to reach, and really think deeply about change in a really complex world. What is it, and how do you achieve change, and how do you know you've achieved it? So those are some of the real, you know, gains or skills or thinking that I was blessed with while being an Atlantic Fellow.
Yeah, and nurses have been really at the forefront of the what we've been going through in the last few months, this pandemic that has hit us from nowhere. Were you in contact with your other fellows, people you worked with during the fellowship in this crisis, maybe to exchange and learn about what's happening in their part of the world?
Yeah, definitely in terms of other Indigenous nations. You know, we kept abreast of some of the programs that was being developed, some of the preventative measures, you know, and of course, like often happens is Indigenous peoples were at the forefront of, you know, effective management of COVID. So as a senior fellow, you get access to a platform and you can become involved in what we call infinity groups, and COVID was certainly a part of one of those infinity groups, and we were able to, you know, share and discuss certain matters. Just recently, I was a part of a Black Lives Matter panel that was curated by the Atlantic Fellowship Hub in Oxford in London, and that was also a fantastic opportunity to meet with people around the globe with an interest to learn about Black Lives Matter, or at least to contribute to the discussion.
Yeah, the discussion which is going on, and we've had it even here in the streets of Melbourne. People are out there expressing their quest for more equity in the society.
Absolutely, and it's beautiful to see, you know, people of different races and different colours, you know, now standing alongside us in allyship. You know, and really calling for anti-racism.
Yeah.
What was also really unique and beneficial and timely about my experience in the Social Equity Atlantic Fellowship group was really centering Indigenous knowledges and Indigenous ways of knowing, being and doing. Yeah. I hadn't been a part of a program that actually, you know, privileged you know, thinking and ways of knowing, being and doing for the last 60,000 years. Yeah. So I think that was a unique and welcomed experience on my behalf. Yeah. I think the role of being a senior fellow is also really important. For me, you know, now being a senior fellow, I'm really aware of the legacy that I have and the responsibility I have as a senior fellow to continue to, you know, learn and to share and to give back, or in my culture what I call reciprocity, and that means, you know, intentional participating in the Atlantic Fellowship, the ability to be able to mentor, and that, you know, your participation is lifelong, because there's always more to be done. So I feel, walking in the shoes now of a senior fellow, a real pride in that fellowship, and a real, I suppose, excitement for the future in this role.
And now, when I look back at the project that you submitted for your fellowship, I can't help but bring it to the current context of COVID-19. A global network of Indigenous nurses, and the nurses have been at the forefront of what we're going through in this particular period of a pandemic.
from my observation and my work within the Atlantic Fellowship, you know, what I've seen and heard from other fellows, as well as my work as the CEO of Lowitji Institute, is the rapid response and the ability for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities to come together and collectively, you know, exercise the sovereignty to respond to COVID. And I think it's a really great case study for whereby if, you know, government ever question the role of Aboriginal community-controlled health services or Aboriginal organisations, that we can roll out our work in COVID to show that we are, as a collective group, an integral part of the health system that's really needed. And, you know, the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people's ability to adapt and change and respond to these types of pandemics is second to none.
The situation here in Australia, First Nations people here have fared extremely well compared to what we've seen overseas, and it's thanks to the Indigenous leadership, actually.
And also working with government and, you know, responding at the pace that was required. So you know, and I suppose now that we're hopefully in the not too distant future, post-COVID, that there's some, you know, fantastic learnings and research that can be done, which sort of says this is Indigenous ways of knowing, being and doing, and it's actually beneficial for the rest of Australia, if not the globe.
Because we see Canada, in Brazil and the US, the situation there is really... I would say it's a dire situation in First Nations communities there.
Definitely. It is a really sad and dire situation. And we get to be on the other side of that. And, of course, here in Australia, the other side of the bushfires and now COVID and, you know, really places under the spotlight food security for many rural and remote and Indigenous communities and how we can work towards prevention and plans and, you know, respond even better next time.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.